We're in the Maimer Sheni. We started the last time the second Maimer, all the way back earlier, and we're actually in Ois Beis on page 7. And once again, this is actually earlier than what we had learned previously. And we're talking about God, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's always easy to talk about the mitzvahs than to talk about the Rabbi Nishalaylam. And here, the king asked about Hashem's names. And this is not identical to what we had had in the Maimer Haravi, where the question was, the shame of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Aleph Dalet. That's not the discussion here. Here the discussion is the multiple adjectives, descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we find, the names like Racham Echanun, Ram Venisa, all these different expressions. And he's responding in two tracks. Before he explains it, he's saying here that it shouldn't be seen as a contradiction. Then at one time it says, Kel Racham Echanun, that God has mercy. In another place it says, Kel Kanav Enoikem, God takes revenge. Sounds like either there's more than one God or that God has different moods. So his response here was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is consistent. And on page 7 in the Maimer Sheni, which is in Ois Beis, Anachtu Rayim Kizeh B'Sheifte B'nei Adam, the fourth line. I don't remember exactly at which word we stopped. I think it was around there. We see the same thing when you have a judge, a regular judge in court. Sheshoylem Oiseh B'dinim V'donin B'mashem Achieves HaTorah. And he judges, and whatever he has to judge, up he Torah. You are noshim zaychem bedin, v'cherim chayavim. Some people are found guilty, some people are found innocent. Now, that's not an inconsistency. Hakol toli b'nif ha-shayfet v'dinai b'li yishtanus b'yishinu. The king doesn't change. The king judges, or the judge judges each case. Chayin Hashem Yisbarach, pam yikro kel racham v'chanu, pam yikro kel kana v'naike. V'yisbarach inenu mishtana. It's not that God changes m'mida el mida. The klolei shel davar ki amida is mischalkos zulasi Hashem beforish yisbarech l'shloisha chalakim. Now, before we get to this, I want to explain that whenever we talk about hakshama by Hashem, we say Hashem has an outstretched arm, or Hashem listens, or any description, any physical description of Hashem. The idea is, when you say something physical about a person, the person is listening, so you really mean the result that the person hears. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening, it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hashem ish melchama, God is a man of battle. That means just like when a human being is a man of battle, the result is a victory on the battlefield. So the same thing, and we say the same thing about Hashem. We say Hashem remembers, Hashem zeicher, Yom HaZikaron HaZeh. Hashem remembers. What does it mean to remember? There is no forgetting in front of God. When you and I remember something, it usually means that we're acting on it. We're daydreaming, it's not important that we remember. But if we send a wife flowers for a birthday, it means we remember the birthday. So you're remembering something, you act on it. So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zeicher HaNishkachos, we want any description of Hashem, it's the result of that description that we're talking. God remembers the schus of Avraham's cholanu brisavos. Okay, the Yitzchak. It's not that God forgets, it's that we want God to act on, based on brisavos and Akedas Yitzchak. So basically, all physical manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are meant for their result. Now, we find three types of descriptions of Hashem, and that's what he's going to get into. Some are what I just said, things that Kaviyachol God does, Racham V'chanun. Some are adjectives, Kel Ram V'nisa, God is exalted. We're not describing anything Hashem does, we're just using adjectives for Hashem's name. And then there's a third set of descriptions, and they are words that are basically wrong. As we say, let's say, that God is alive. Now, it's not a correct word. No one would say the building is alive. A building doesn't have life and death. You say somebody or something is alive, it assumes that death is possible. So the third grouping of Hashem's name, well, God is first. Ani Rishayin, Ani Acharai, God is first. It's not a correct description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because first implies a second. So what he's going to do now is go through these three descriptions and point out to the king an explanation of that third set. Okay, now let's see it inside. A kolei shaldaver. Ki amidais mischalka is ulasi Hashem ha-meforish. The names of Hashem outside of the Yud Kevav, okay? Yizbarach. L'shloisha chalokim, three types of names. Shetena masiyais. Some describe Hashem's actions, like kel racham v'chanun, kani v'noikem, Hashem ish melchama. Oy tefeliyais. Tefeliyais means adjectives. Oy shuliliyais. Now the word shuliliyais literally means negative, or words that are really meant to exclude something else. You say God is alive, it's not a correct description of God. What we're saying is that death is not Shaya HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a perfect description. He explains it. Hamaisiyais nilkachais mehamaisim haboim mimenu bemsam tivian. K'moy marishu mashir. God makes people wealthy or poor. Mashbilaf maraimim. He lifts and lowers. Racham v'chanun. Kani v'noikim. Gibar nadiv. Hadoimim lahem. Those are descriptions of God's actions. Hatfeliyais, the adjectives. K'moy baruch, mevairach, mehulal, kadesh, ram v'nisa. L'kachais miraimim musam adar b'loi. It's taken from the exalted state that those who speak to Hashem recognize.
Wouldn't you say the same thing by the second category, the third? How could Hashem be wrong? It implies that there's a state of not Roma Musa, that can't be Hashem.
Yeah, but when you say someone is tall, it doesn't mean it's possible for him to be short. When you say someone's alive, it means it's possible for him to be dead. There's some words that are descriptive words, and there are some words that describe a present state of being. You say that he's a tall person, it doesn't mean that sometimes he's short, sometimes he's tall. So there's no contradiction. If you say he's alive, it means there's a possibility of him being dead. I think that's the idea. And these adjectives don't necessarily imply a different description. Aval hashuliliyais kamaychai echad rishon achrain. These are problematic words. Seifer olav be'ela kedei lishlami menu hapcham. They're really meant to exclude the reverse. Loy l'kayim loy ela adar shenachna mevinim mayam. Not the way it's usually used. The way we usually use it. Kenachna mevinim chayim kim bahargasha tenua. When you say something's alive, it means it feels or it moves. Ukvaris ala mehem. And God is higher than that. Now, last time I described to you that, when we say God is alive, chai olamim, I mentioned to you that there are two minhagim in Yishtabach, whether to say chai olamim or chai olamim at the end. Most Ashkenazim say, we all say Chai Olamim, right? Right, Haderes V'amun, Latzavamim, Latzavamim, L'Chai Olamim, right? Everyone says L'Chai Olamim, at least in the song. So we say, I'm sorry, the Sfardim say Chai Olamim, like in Haderes V'amun. The Ashkenazim say Chai Olamim. Now, there's a very big difference, I mentioned to you last time. Chai Olamim means God is eternally alive. Chei Olamim means he's the life giver of the world, or of the worlds. The Chei Olamim expression would seem to be problematic. If you say God gives life to the world, there's no problem with that. That doesn't mean God can be alive or not alive. If you say Chei Olamim, God is eternally alive, then that's an issue. Because that's the problem that he's dealing with here. Someone pointed out to me that in the Pachad Yitzchak, I actually took the wrong volume, but in Mamore Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach, in Ois Lamites, in Maimer Lamites, Ois Zayin and on, he describes what it's doing here. Why is Chei Olamim a Chei Olamim? Why is it in Yishtabach? Why is it a connection here? Specifically, in Baruch Shamar also, we say, Yochid Chei Olamim, El Shuvah Mefaya De'ach Mehagadol. So, punct here, we use Chei Olamim in both places, not a common description. See, here's an interesting idea. He says that Psukhi de Zimra is really a preparation for Berachas Kriya Shema, which is a preparation for Kriya Shema. Basically, everything revolves around Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now, as the Kuzari will say in a moment, the word Echad is also a problematic, because you only count numbers in things where there's more than one.
The
exclusion of others. So to say he's number one implies that there's a number two and a number three. So you can't rate someone number one if there's only one, if there's only one, right? You have one daughter, you say, you're my best daughter, it's not saying very much, right? You have seven daughters, you say, you're my best daughter, and then you're saying something special. So there's a problem with the Echad and a problem with the Chayei Olamim. The way Rav Putner explains, the Echad, and we're going to see a little about this here, the Achdus of Hashem really means the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the non-changing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chayei Olamim means the Chayei Olamim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternally alive. It means that it doesn't change. It's forever. And the Echad and the Chayei Olamim are related. They're both words which are not, which are, for lack of a better word, we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu one, and we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu eternally alive. They're for lack of a better word, but it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes. There's no change in the Bayrei Olam. And for that reason, this is a proper Hagdam. It's interesting. He says, HaBecher B'Shirei Zimra, God chooses the songs of David HaMelech. That's referring to David. Shir, we find Shiras Devorah, Shiras Hayam, we find others. But Mizmar is generally Mizmar LaDavid, is unique to David. So our friend says, why does it mean HaBecher B'Shirei Zimra? Where do we find that God chooses Shirei Zimra more than any other song? And he says this is a reference also to after the period of Tchias HaMeisim, to eternity, that even though there's a mimer that the Sifrei Tanakh, many of them at least, are going to be bottled, are not going to be studied, lasid lavai, but a lot of them are already starting now to not study them. But Tehillim will remain, because Tehillim has two dinim. It has a part of Tanakh, and it's also the davening, or the shira in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a certain habaycher b'shirei zimra, a certain eternity to them, and that's why they belong together with Kelchei Ha'ilamim, Chai Ha'ilamim. If you learn, it means to be forever. So it's an insight into this, what I mentioned last week. And what I mentioned to you last time was that Reb Zalman Hanna, the person I keep on mentioning to you, was a Baal Digduk in the late 1600s, who always sought to find every word in the Siddur somewhere in Tanakh. And when the Siddur of Reb Israel, the first Vilna Siddur, came out and it said Chai Olamim, and they wrote in the Siddur that this is an expression which has no source in Tanakh, Chai Olamim, the Reb Zalman Hanna disagreed. Well, he said Chai Olamim, he says no source in Tanakh. Reb Zalman Hanna, now Chai is like Chai Parai. It's a connecting word. Chai Parai, Chai Nafshechem, Chai Olamim doesn't mean God lives forever. It means God is the life source of all the worlds. The difference is if Olamim is worlds or eternity. Olam could be found both ways. So at any rate, this disagreement had to do with this idea, at least in part, that to describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu as Chai is very hard. To describe Hashem as the life giver is fine. To describe Hashem as alive is hard. Nevertheless, we do find, at least in the song Haderes Ve'Emuna, I think everyone says L'Chai Olamim. The Sfaradim sing it by the Akafis, we've heard them, and they say L'Chai Olamim. We also say L'Chai Olamim. So we do find that, at least that descriptive word, and therefore he's going to explain it now. Well, let's see, we have a couple of minutes. Let's just see what he says. V'nachnu oimrim alav shu chai, the last words on page 9. V'nachnu oimrim alav, we say regarding God, shu chai, lishloel mimenu Tayar Hamaves, to say that the word, the expression of death, is not Shayat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Neshama Sheves Halev Kedemes, Kimishen Echayumes, The heart tells us, if you're not alive, you're dead. It's not an intellectual thought. Now this expression, "Akvar tishloil behazman," is a hard expression. In the Eitzer Nechman on the bottom, about 15 lines down, he says, "Akvar tishloil behazman moshel l'mad David Eimer, who's man." It's a simon, a moshel to time. K'moshloi timer derech moshel hazman chai. Can't say time is alive. K'lo yitzur b'chius kalal. You can't say time is alive or time is dead. Time is a concept. Akopon yeshle mitzias vu nimtza. Nevertheless, time exists. It's something Hashem created. So the same thing is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not accurate to say he's alive, but we mean to say he's nimtza, and therefore it's a borrowed expression. So getting back to the second line, akavar tishlal mehazman, derech mashal. For example, we exclude from time Hachios, the description of alive, leyuchuyv shiemes, acha sheim medarke kibul chayim v'amaves, because life and death are not shayach to zman. K'meshet chayim mi ma'amarcha shoa even einenu chachma. You say a stone is not smart. Shetasapalav shiksila. Does that mean it's a fool? Kasher even p'chusa mishetikabel chachma v'kislus. Just like a stone is too low to accept wisdom or foolishness. Keno etzem alakai yisbarach miroyim alakabel chayim v'amaves. So I can't say about God that he's the light or dark. Someone's going to push us against the wall to describe Hashem with the word or, light, or with the word choshech. So naturally, we would rather say light about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To exclude the possibility of darkness from a description of a Kaddish Baruch. Only created things can be makabel light and darkness. So I think we get the basic gist of it. It's like saying lav dafka, except that it means that's the way people are. People accept such descriptions, and that's the idea. It's very hard for us to appreciate how centuries ago people actually argued about these things and had major arguments about it. I hope next time to describe to you, he brings Ibn Ezra, who always went off on his own ideas, how he dealt with it. So Yitzhak Hashem next week. Let me just see my schedule for the coming week. God willing, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, we'll have a full week. Okay? Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Okay.